1 Corinthians chapter 1, before we gather around the Lord's table, we share testimonies together as a church family. Thank God for our lives. And we're here tonight. And by the way, thank God the church is a part of our life. Amen. And we're here in the house of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Let the church say amen. Father, thank you for your precious word. I thank you for my life. I pray, God, you'd help us as a part of this life tonight to hear from you. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. I certainly won't be a blessing, so help me in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. For reminders, perhaps this is your first time being in here on a Sunday night. We're preaching through the book of 1 Corinthians. This is a letter to the Christians at the church in Corinth from the Apostle Paul. He had started this church, spent 18 months in this city, a commercial city, a prosperous city, but a city known for immorality and wickedness. And yet God built a church there. There's never somewhere too wicked for God to work. And God built a church there, good church, great church, wonderful church. And then Paul left and found out later that there was mess in the church. How many of you know that just because a church starts right doesn't mean that it won't eventually have some mess in it? Where human beings exist, there are human beings with a flesh. Where the devil is still alive, he's a liar and a divider. And the world is anti-God because it knows not God. So we have mess that gets into churches. Paul discovered that the church that he had planted through the power of the Holy Ghost in the world was now a church that had the world in it. Perhaps you're a Christian that God has placed in the world, and unfortunately, you have a lot of the world that's been placed in you. So it's a problem. It was a church full of problems. I know. The devil wants you to think that worldliness is your right to freedom and to do what you want to do. He doesn't tell you on the other side of the door that the child of God, drowning in worldliness, will be full of problems. Because you're saved now. You're born again. You're heaven bound. Your Holy Ghost indwelt. You're no longer a child of Adam. You're a child of God. And when you start trying to do that stuff of the old life, when you're now a child of the new life, you're going to have problems. The most miserable person on planet Earth is not a lost man. It's a saved man living like he's lost. Oh, you say, aren't lost people miserable? They're not nearly as miserable as saved people that aren't right with God, because a lost man has never tasted and seen that the Lord is good. But when a child of God gets saved and experiences the sweet salvation and the indwelling of the Holy Ghost of God and the peace with God and the peace of God and the sufficient grace and mercy of God, when you
you find out he's more than a creator, he's a savior and a redeemer and a beautifier and an atoner and a forgiver. When you find out that he's more than just God, he is your Lord, and you don't live like it, you're miserable. Miserable. And so they were miserable. Oh yeah, they were miserable. And he dove into this first part and said one of their miseries was division. They were just a bunch of groups in one church. One body, but a bunch of different groups. Cliques, divisions. And this is where we've been. We've dealt with his intimate plea about these divisions. His informed problem, he found out about them. His interrogating provocation, he said to them, y'all are divided, but is Jesus divided? His individual perspective, his indisputable premium. Preaching is a big deal. It was a big deal then, it's a big deal now. Is preaching a big deal in your life? You need preaching. I say you need preaching. You need singing, but you need preaching more. I mean, if God gave us a choice to pick one, we get rid of the singing. Amen. Amen. And we love choir. I mean, we got the best choir in the world. By the way, we all just stop and thank God for our choir here. I was listening to them just sing tonight and watching them sing, and I thought, good night. They've got to be worn out. Thank God that they'll wear themselves out for Jesus. Thank God for a choir. I travel. I've preached at churches for years, never heard their choir, because their choir only sings on Sunday morning. And I've never been there on a Sunday morning, so I've never heard the choir. We have a choir that sings on Sunday morning and Sunday night, on Wednesday night. Don't take it for granted. Every once in a while, just sneak past your end of the service routine and go tell the choir, thank you. We thank the Lord for the choir, but we need preaching. We need preaching. And so Paul says there's a premium on preaching. There's productivity of preaching. There's a prerogative of God. God had a prerogative when he chose the foolishness of the mankind that they thought was foolish, rather. He chose the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise. Last week we looked at an intentional practice. We preach Christ. It's not an accident. Don't ever apologize for sharing Christ. Don't ever be embarrassed for talking about Jesus. Now, I'm sorry. All I can tell you is he died, he was buried, and rose again. If you put your trust in him, you'll get saved. That's all I got. I'm kind of embarrassed about. Embarrassed about getting somebody snatched out of hell? What in the world is embarrassing about that? It's a powerful message. The intentional practice. Tonight, I want to look at the illustrative point. Paul's going to illustrate this. He ends on verse number 25 saying the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You believe that? People laugh at God until they taste him. They laugh at Christians till they become one. They think church is crazy till they get up in that craze. Come on now. Come down off your high horse and dive down off your lofty perch and admit you're here tonight, but you used to think that what you're doing was lunacy. I mean, coming for a few hours, yeah, on a Sunday morning wasn't that bad. But coming back on a Sunday night during football season, you used to laugh at people that did that. And look at you, sitting all up in here at 6:45 on a Sunday night. What's wrong with your crazy self? I got Jesus. How could I want more? I got saved. That's what happened to me. And what used to be foolish is pretty wise. And what used to be wise is pretty foolish. You used to think it was wise to go out on Saturday night and act a fool. You think it was wise to drink that alcohol and wise to spit out that profanity and wise to waste your life away until somebody introduced you to a Savior that loved you and gave himself for you. And you got saved and boom, shakalaka-laka, the light came on. It's all making sense. Now he's going to illustrate this point, verse 26. Give me a few minutes. You see your calling. In this illustrative point, Paul introduces us to a seen calling. Oh, he said, why don't you look at something? You see your calling. By the way, we're saved because God has called us to salvation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm weak and lowly of heart, meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Aren't you glad? Listen to me. He has called us to himself. I say he has called us to himself. Don't just gloss over those words. The fact that a perfect Savior wants to fool with me. He has called me unto himself. Amen. ye see your calling. Here's the illustrative point, Paul said. You have a seen call. Every once in a while, stop and look back at your calling. Look back at what God did when he called you to himself through the person of the Holy Ghost of God. He wooed you to himself.
And when you look at the calling of salvation, he says, notice. And then he makes this statement. Not many. Would you say those two words with me? Not many. Come on, say them again. He didn't say none. He said not many. And then he lists groups. Would you look at them with me? He said not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. He said, Paul said, when you look at the calling of salvation, he says, here's what you see few of. You see few accomplished people, few authoritative people, and few affluent people. Now, does that mean accomplished people can't get saved and authoritative people can't get saved and affluent people can't get saved? No, no, no. Anybody can get saved. Here's what Paul says. It's harder for them to get saved because they think they have enough without God.
Ye see, take a look. Take a look at the body of Christ. Take a look at the family of God. And see how often you discover that most of the people that answered the call of salvation were not what the world calls great people.
You have a seen calling, but also God made a sovereign choice. But God have chosen. Amen. Thank God for his choice. Amen. God have chosen. God have chosen the foolish things of the world. Notice the groups here again. Verse number 27, the foolish. Then he says, God have chosen the weak. Then he says, God have chosen the base. 28, the despised. 28, the things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Please listen, as we look at these choices of God. God chose, if you would, the things of the world that are foolish. Amen. Aren't you glad that what the world calls deficient, God still chooses? Aren't you glad that what the world calls degraded, God still chooses? Aren't you glad that what the world calls dumb, God still chooses? Aren't you glad that what the world calls despised, God still chooses? Aren't you glad that what the world calls disregarded, God still chooses? If you're not saying amen, you must not think you were in that group. He chose foolish. That's dumb people. Then he said he chose not only foolish, but he chose base people. That's degraded people. He chose despised people. He chose things that are not. In other words, things that the world views as non-existent. They mean something to God. Wow. Why? Do you see what Paul is saying? Here's what was happening in Corinth, and it's what happens in churches. There were Christian people in that body who started thinking they were something. Oh, I'm doing something. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. And by the way, I got a special group. My group's called the Peter group. My group's called the Apollos group. My group's called this other kind of group. And they started marching around in their little circles and their cliques because they thought they were doing something great and they thought they were something great. And Paul came in saying, what in the world y'all think y'all doing something? When God chose you and found you, let me tell you what you were. Dumb. You were disregarded, you were despised, and my friend, you were depraved, but God have chosen. And by the way, I'm glad today that when you get saved, that God doesn't run your credit score. I'm glad today that when you get saved, that God doesn't take your fingerprints. I'm glad today that when you get saved, that God doesn't look at your past. I'm glad today that when you got saved,
way that God didn't investigate the things you had done that nobody knew. Aren't you glad today that God let you in where some houses wouldn't approve you, that God let you in where some banks wouldn't approve you, that God let you in where some elite clubs wouldn't approve you. Aren't you glad that God chose the weak things, the foolish things, the despised things, and the base things of the world to let the world know it's not about them, it's about him. The seen calling, the sovereign choice. And then tonight I want you to see why. The special cause that no flesh should glory in his presence. God, why are you? Sometimes I come into church and I start looking around and say, there's some interesting people in here. You start looking around the body of Christ and you go, that's interesting. Huh? Why do we send men and women to the prison? Because we think the people in the prison can get saved. Well, why do we send our vans and our bus ministry to the hood? Because we believe people in the hood can get saved. Well, why do we deal with people that don't necessarily have fancy clothes and some of them don't even have a home to live in? Because we believe that homeless people can get saved. And why? Paul wanted them to look around. He almost wanted the Corinthians the next time they went to church to just kind of do one of these numbers. And by the way, when they went home, to kind of look in the mirror and do one of these numbers. And start walking back down memory lane real quick like. And start remembering just how messed up we were when God found us. Now, but here's what he's saying. They were base, they were depraved, they were despised. And yet God chose them. Do you realize that in the world, you got to have it together to move up? You got to have a bunch of money to move up? That's the problem with our world today. They view people based on what they have. Don't be a Christian that dives into that nonsense. Don't go sizing up people on the clothes they wear and the car they drive and the money they have in the bank. Paul said, could I tell you something? God can choose anybody. And God can look down in what the world calls the gutter and save somebody. God can go on down to Lodi Bar and find somebody. And by the way, if you really look at the scripture, and Paul is reminding us of the gospel message, if you really look at the Bible, you'll find out that often what the world despised as nothing, God used to do great and mighty things. When the king and all of the soldiers were scared of that 9.5-foot giant, when the story was all over, it wasn't the biggest soldier that killed him. It was a little shepherd boy just delivering lunch when Gideon and that small group of a couple hundred men got shrunk down to size. It wasn't their spears. It wasn't their swords. It wasn't their shields. No, my friend, it was some trumpets and some torches and some loud shouting. When Joshua and the crew gathered around Jericho with the large formidable wall, it wasn't his innovation or his strategic planning. No, it was just some marching around Jericho. When Israel and the 2 million Jews needed to be delivered from the hand of Pharaoh, God chose a stammering, stuttering man by the name of Moses hanging out on the back side of the desert. And when the 5,000 people that were hungry beside women and children needed somebody to feed them, he didn't get a caterer. He didn't get a philanthropist. He got a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And by the way, when you were lost and on your way to a devil's hell, he didn't look at what you had to offer him. He looked instead at what he had to offer you. Why? So that no flesh could glory in his presence. Why did God save the nothings of the world? Here's why. So nobody could take credit for it. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Could I ask you a question in closing tonight? Do you have a boasting problem? Do you? Do you find yourself bragging on what you have and what you do and walking around thinking you're something? Look at me. I'm a Christian who doesn't do this and who doesn't do that. Listen to me. You're a Christian who wouldn't be a Christian were it not for Christ. And here's what he's saying. How in the world can you function in cliques when everybody was a nobody till the somebody named Jesus saved your soul? So you know what, child of God? If you're saved, and the only way you can be saved is by the grace of God, and you're a member of a good church, by the way, only way you can be a part of a New Testament church is if you save first. Now, other churches will take you into church before you're not saved. They're not right kind of churches. You're not supposed to be in the church unless you're first in Christ. So if you're saved, you're a member of this church or any church, and you're kind of wondering as you get here, where will I fit up in here? Scanning. Some of you say, yeah, I do scan every time I come. Which group am I going to kind of wedge into or squedge into? Can I tell you, if you're in the church because you were first in Christ, guess what applies to anybody else in the church? You can roll with them. I said you can roll with them because both of y'all, regardless of where you came from, came in through the same door. And this nonsense, I'm not telling you everybody's going to be BFFs and everybody's going to be hanging out and everybody's going to go on a boat for 6 hours and fish with no music and just the sound of the water with people that you don't get along with. I'm just telling you, I love all of y'all, but I ain't trying to fish with all of you. To be honest with you, I ain't trying to fish, period. I just as soon thank God for fishermen and ask God to bless them and keep them highly favored, and I'm fine with just eating fish. So I'm not saying you got to go take a trip around the world with everybody in the church. But if you can't find a few minutes of commonality to talk with another blood-washed saint about Jesus, you might better go back and check if you really blood washed. Because there should be no divisions in the body of Christ, because he's not divided. And since he did the saving, what in the world does anybody have to brag about? Father, thank you. Forgive us, God, sometimes for glorying, for forgetting just who saved us, who changed us. Help us not to get away from the truth. God did it. We're glad you did. Work in us and through us in Jesus' name. Amen. Standing together. If God reminded you tonight of what he did and where he brought you from, why don't you come thank him for it? So easy to get full of ourselves. And we fail to realize just how good God's been to us. Were it not for grace. You know, just be honest. When one of these really, really, really wealthy Christian people surfaces, it's a big story. You know why? Doesn't have much. The love of money is the root of all evil. And you have to divorce someone from his stuff in order for that person to trust the Savior. And the Bible makes it very clear. It's just easier to be divorced from your stuff when you have less stuff. And God says, look at what I did. I took you all the way to the top from all the way at the bottom. What's more powerful than the gospel? Get you from down there to up here. Father, thank you for your precious word. Continue to draw us closer to thee. And help us to never glory in anything except the cross. May Jesus truly be seen in through our lives. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for staying.